when I wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad, every editor in New York said, you don't know what you're talking about. So I said three things. I said, number one, the rich don't work for money. The rich work to acquire assets. Number two, savers are losers. And number three, your house is not an asset. So your job as a capitalist is to turn a liability, a house, into an asset.
Robert, is the money system rigged?
You want to get me in trouble, don't you? No, we're at the end of an empire right now. It is the end. It's the end of this. And all empires always come to an end. The Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, Chinese were the earliest. Chinese were the first guys to use paper.
Right.
So what we're looking at today is the end of the American Empire. So it's a very dangerous time. It's explosive, you know, with Palestine and Gaza. All the stuff that's going on is an end of times. Not biblical, but just an end of an era. And the trouble when this comes to an end, war follows. That's what I'm afraid of. I went to Vietnam twice. I was a pilot in Vietnam, so I saw war. It's not good, obviously. I feel for both Palestinians and the Israelis. But we're in dangerous times.
So if we're seeing the end of fiat currency as we know it, where do you think money moves to?
Good question. This here is a 1964 half dollar. 1964 was the year that this was real silver. But in 1964, the U.S. was now from England. The torch was passed to America. That was 1944, Bretton Woods and all this. And so America was the power. But every empire ends when they debase the currency. So this was 64. I was 17 years old. I remember looking, oh, it's nice, you know. And then one day, I also looked up, and some of the coins looked like this.
And that is?
This is pure gold.
Yeah, 1 ounce.
Okay. But I look it up and go, oh, my God. Why does this coin have copper on it? And that was the end of the empire. Every empire dies when they violate this, when they change the money. So congratulations on all your success about being a real estate guy, because this was 64, then 71. President Nixon took the dollar off of the gold standard. And the reason you're doing so well today is because the dollar became debt. Right? So real estate guys like my friend Trump and all that, we get rich using debt. Whereas the average person is told to work hard, this is toilet paper, save this, stay out of debt. And they're going broke today. I'm afraid for the average punter out there, you know. So we're in serious trouble because with the end of the American empire, is China going to take over? I don't know.
Ray Dalio thinks so.
Well, Dalio also recommends other, you know. But anyway, I just want to commend you. I want to say the reason I'm here is because of this here. You know, you were.
Yeah, I was at the World Cup semi-final.
I just want to, because I'm in England, London, rugby is my game. And it's the greatest game in the world to me. It's a pure entrepreneur's game. And the reason it's pure because it's not how big you are. You have really big second row. You have big fat guys like me, props, you know, how's a prop? You have little guys who are hookers and the scrum halves and all this. But it's a pure entrepreneur sport because every person on a rugby team has to do everything. You have to run, pass, kick, right? Whereas in American baseball, you hit the, you know, everybody's like, and in golf, it's an individual sport. But rugby is a pure team sport. So I came out to London here. I played for Blackheath for about four games. I love the game. It's passionate. And that's I was here. I was at Twickenham for the World Cup out here. But it's the greatest game on earth as far as I'm concerned. Thanks to England passing it on to the world.
You actually talk a lot about your rich dad advisors.
Right.
So is there such a thing as self-made, or must it be a team?
That's a perfect question. Okay, look. Let me show you something here. So this was 1964. That used to be real silver. Now it's fake silver. So then 1971, this was backed by gold and silver. And then Nixon took it off. This became debt. That's one of the most important things, because now it became debt. For me to get rich, I had to use debt. But what do our schools teach us? Stay out of debt. That's how stupid school teachers are. Debt makes guys like you and me rich. And ironically, because we use debt, we don't pay any taxes. You know, taxes are very high here in London, very high in America. But real estate guys like Trump and I, we don't pay taxes legally. Now, that makes a lot of the liberal or the conservatives or the, whatever you call them, the greenies and the academic types angry. Because when Trump was debating Hillary Clinton, that criminal, the Clintons and Obamas, man, what a bunch of crooks they are.
Really?
But all politicians are crooks anyway. Anyway, I'm not getting political here. But Hillary Clinton, she was running against Trump. She says, and you don't even pay taxes. And what does Trump say to her? It means I'm smart. And so the reason I like what you're doing with real estate is you learn to use debt and you pay less taxes to go for this. But what I'm glad I'm in your program is, once I realized this and this was all changing, the end game wasn't real estate. The end game was gold. So today, this is a U.S. silver buffalo. You can buy this for $30 U.S. I don't know it in pounds. This is 2,200. Okay. So which would you rather have today? Would you rather have this piece of toilet paper? Would you rather have this piece of silver? Or would you rather have gold? The average person wants the paper. This is toilet paper. And that's why people are in trouble today, because America is about to crash, as you know. We're in serious trouble. Our debt is at an all-time high. America is now the biggest debtor nation in the world, worse than Japan. So Japan has high debt, but the Japanese people are rich because they save. Americans are in debt, the country is in debt, and we have this guy Biden putting us more in debt. The first thing that Biden did when he came to office, I'm an oil guy, I went to school for oil. I drove tankers for Standard Oil. First thing that Biden did was he cut the Keystone Pipeline. The pipeline ran from Canada all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. When he cut that pipeline, that was Biden did. Trump loved it. But when Biden cut it, I still sell oil. I'm an oil guy. So I have real estate, oil, all this other stuff. I was selling oil for $30 a barrel when Trump was in office. When Biden came to office, oil went to $130 a barrel. That sent inflation through the roof. It wiped out mom and dad. Today, the spooky thing about the world economy is the gap between rich and poor getting wider, because people are working for this and not this and this here. So the question I ask people, which is a better investment, gold, silver, or paper?
Well, I think since 71, fiat currency, certainly the pound, is down more than 85% of its value, whereas gold's up thousands of percent in the same time.
Yeah.
So I know, well, let me just ask it straight. Why isn't this taught in schools? Because surely people should know this stuff.
Because school teachers are Marxist. My poor dad, rich dad, poor dad, it's a story of a Marxist versus a capitalist. You know, my poor dad was an academic type. He was a PhD, which stands for poor, helpless, and desperate. You know, he's a smart guy. He was in school all the time. He knew all the answers to everything. Mm. But he didn't know anything about this here. Mm. And my rich dad was a man who had no school, and he ran the family store. So as a boy of 13, he began learning about money. And he started saying, he says, the mistake is our schools teach us to work for this, not this. Mm.
Why does Dave Ramsey say all debt is dumb?
Well, because Dave Ramsey is a fucking idiot. That's why he shouldn't be. No, I mean... Pardon my French. I mean, he and I, who's your target? You know, when we first got together, I said, who is your demographics, right? You guys are real estate guys. Dave Ramsey is not your teacher. You're their teacher. Does that make sense? Mm. So like, I'm a pilot. I didn't ask a basketball player to teach me how to play to fly. So when I went to Vietnam, I wanted the best teachers. So if you're going to be in real estate, Dave Ramsey is not your teacher. You are. If you understand that, you choose your teachers. So Ramsey's advice is good for the average person who is trying to save this stuff here. Think about this, okay? I was flying in Vietnam. I bought my first gold coin. I paid $50 for it. So it was 50 of these for one of these. Today is 2,200 for one of these.
And what has the dollars gone down by?
And mom and daddy are working hard, staying out of debt like frickin' idiots.
Yeah.
But it's best advice for mom and dad. They're the punter. You know, I use the term punter. They just have no idea what's going on. They get up, they get a pint, and they're happy.
Mm.
So, but if you're going to be a rich man or a poor man, a rich man, your end game is gold. This has been money for centuries. This is silver. It's the better investment today. In the U.S., it takes 35 of these to buy one of these. So I tell my brothers and my sisters and all that, hey, trade this piece of toilet paper in for this. Oh, no, Dave Ramsey said save money. And my family's broke, but they follow my poor dad. They go, I have a master's degree. What do you have?
And a master's degree can get someone $100,000 in debt, can't it? Bad debt.
I'm $1 billion in debt.
You're $1 billion in debt.
Because debt is money. It happened in 1971. President Nixon took this, separated. So what became money was a U.S. bond. Now, Dave Ramsey and most of these financial planners down in the City of London, and they recommend buying bonds. Bonds are the worst advice possible.
Why?
They're going crashing. Three banks went down in a row because the bonds crashed. So please hear what I'm saying is our financial planners, what do we call them in the States, they're always saying you want 40% stocks, 40% bonds, and 10% gold or something like that. They think bonds are safe. But now that interest rates are going like this, see, when interest rates goes up, the bonds come down. So today, the U.S. Federal Reserve President, Chairman Powell, he's raising interest rates. Bonds are coming down. Our banks are crashing. When our banks crash, they can't lend this out. And when they can't lend this out, the economy crashes. So the people who will win are people who have gold and silver. And mommy and daddy who are saving this will be wiped out. Because to save the world economy, as you know, the U.S. is going to print trillions of these. You have, what was your name, Tusk or something? She was your prime minister for a short period of time.
Yeah, Liz Truss.
Yeah. When she tried to screw around this, your pensions went down. So mark my words, the old guys like me in UK, America, and most of Europe, we have no pensions.
So did you decide
Let me say it again. We have no pensions.
No pensions.
They're gone.
Gone.
But they don't know it yet.
Right. Okay. All right. Where do we go with this? So most people think inflation is bad because it erodes paper money. But is inflation good if you have good debt?
It's about a financial education. Depends on the asset class. Inflation is good for, look at this, okay? The first one I ever bought was in 1972. Paid $50 for it. I still have it. It's in a vault in Switzerland. It cost me 50 of these. Today, that same, if I pulled it all the vault from Switzerland, it's a South African Kruger Rand. If I held it up here, it'd be 2,000 of these for one of these. So meanwhile, mommy and daddy are, save this stuff. Loser. Because our schools want us to do that.
And why do the schools want us to do that?
Because they're Marxists.
And when you say they're Marxists, what do you mean?
They believe that in America, they're called woke.
They're also called woke here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that woke means that you have white guys like you oppress the coloreds like me. So they believe that white guys oppressing the poor and all that stuff. That's not true. It's our schools oppress people. So that what they're trying in America now is DIE, diversity, inclusion, equity. But they don't teach us about money. They teach us about what ESG, environment, social governance. That's Marxism. They're communists. I flew in Vietnam for the U.S. Marine Corps killing communists. We had to. But they came to our school system via our, they came into America via the school system. Communism entered America in 1930 when teachers from Berlin came to Columbia University in America and started teaching at Columbia University's Teachers College. So Marxism spread across America via academics by poor dad. So poor dad, rich dad, it's a story of a Marxist versus a capitalist. It's a free country. Choose what you want to be. I chose capitalist.
Do you think we have any pure capitalist systems anymore? Do you think they've all been diluted and weakened?
We could sit and die, you know. The Aussies have a term for it. We could wank about it all day long. we could debate it all day long. The only question is, how much of this have you got and how much of this have you got? Mm. That's the only question.
All right, we'll come to that then. Yeah. But first, you can't leverage gold the same way you can leverage real estate, can you?
Come hear what I have to say.
Okay, let's go.
Oh, is that a question?
Yeah.
You're brilliant, man.
Thank you.
I use real estate as leverage.
For years, people have been asking me where I buy my watches. Many of you may know I'm a watch collector, I'm a watch investor, and those as an asset class have done me very well in the last 15 years. I have never shared where I source my watches from or my watch dealer until now. My watch dealer used to be a professional footballer for Manchester United, and he formed a watch brand called Broadwalk. And he sources the higher-end brands like Rolex, Audemars Piguet, Patek Philippe and Richard Mille. I trust him, I've used him for many years, and recently we've done a partnership. Hence, I'm inviting you, if you want to start investing in watches and protect your money from the banks and inflation, to check out Broadwalk. That's Broadwalk. And the website is broadwalkgroup.com. The email is sales@broadwalkgroup.com. And please don't share this, but his number is 07496878153. Obviously, only message him if you're serious about buying and investing in the higher-end watches. People have been asking me for years, and for the first time ever, you can get access to my watch team.
To buy this.
Right.
So what I do is I'll borrow, let's say, $20 million. The cash flow buys this.
Right. So you're using government printed money for your own assets
to buy this.
And then the income from the assets you convert into gold.
Yes. This is God's money. God put it here. God put this. I'm not religious, but I'm just. Okay. And this here was put by God. This here is to be flushed down the toilet. And that's what they're doing with it. But oh, I made this much this month. Loser. Your job is to take this, convert to this, or convert to this. Not to brag, but I own tons of this.
How much? How much?
I own the mines.
You own the mines?
I'm a capitalist.
Right.
I bought the biggest gold mine in America last year, last July. It's in Utah.
So you're literally mining your own gold?
Amen.
Amen.
I found religion. I'm going to put an altar there and, you know.
You found religion. What gold is your religion?
I'll put every religion is in there. You can be Buddhist, Shinto, Catholic, Protestant, Muslim. I don't care. Just worship at the altar of gold, you know. No, but you want to get back to this. For thousands of years, you know, I bought my first gold mine in Peru. And I didn't know what I was doing. I was, you know, a kid. And I looked up and I saw all of these holes in the ground. In the Andes, whatever they are. And that was the Inca before Pizarro digging for a gold vein. And I said, how in the world did these Incas, I think that's what they were called, and their native Peruvian Indians, why were they looking for this? And then I was in China. I was in actually Mongolia. All across Mongolia, little holes in the ground. They were looking for this. So this is pre-radio, pre-cell phones. How did the Inca search for this? Then the Spaniards came and took it all away from, of course, these bastards. You know what I mean? And in Mongolia, there's a place called the checkerboard. Little holes in the ground. And these Mongolians with Genghis the Khan was around. They were digging for this stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's something, in my opinion, I'm not religious, but God attracts us to this. Mm. And so I was in Fiji for rugby again, and I met this American guru. He was a Hindu. He had gold all over him. So I said, what's this white guy dressed as a Hindu with gold dripping all over him? So I had to ask him a question. I said, why do you have so much of this? He says, because gold is God's attractor. Gold is God's money. He says, the more of this you have, the more wealth it attracts to you. So when they tell you not to save this stuff, you cut your wealth off. This is your connection. I'm going to get my ass for this one. But I'm saying this is your connection between God and wealth. So if I want $1,000 of income, I buy a couple of these, one of these, you know. Mm. More gold attracts wealth. That's the Hindu. That was this, I don't know if it's Hindu. But this American Hindu, he could have been a fake for all I know. He looked good. He had gold all over him. Mm. He says, this attracts wealth.
Right.
So I believed him. Mm. But I already had that belief anyway. Mm. So I just started collecting this. So the question, I'm here in London to teach. Everybody can do this. This is $35. Mm. The question is, how do you go from this to a gold mine? That's what an entrepreneur does.
Right.
So once I understood this was the objective, I started going for gold mines.
This episode is officially owned by Kevin Paneskis, also known as the Property Soldier. Kevin, who's a friend and also a business partner, purchased one of my exclusive NFTs, and he has full ownership of this episode. Kev purchased this episode because he was 24 years in the army. He quit the army, and now he has a multi-million pound property portfolio. And the first person that inspired him was actually Robert Kiyosaki, who is the guest on this show. If you go right now to robmore.events/SA, for service accommodation, robmore.events/SA. There's a special report waiting for you there and how to make money on one of the hottest property strategies right now. That's robmore.events/SA. And also the link is in the description on YouTube.
So you buy more gold mines now than you are real estate?
Amen.
You are?
Biggest in the world.
Right.
Went public July 8th last year in Toronto, New York Stock Exchange. My first gold mine was in Dalian, China. And we struck gold in China. This is 2004. Guess what the Chinese did?
Tell me.
Nationalized it. They stole it. I don't trust the Chinese communists. You know, that's why they're communists. That's why what Klaus Schwab says, you own nothing. Someday you'll own nothing, you'll be happy. That's Marxism. That's communism. You will own nothing. So when the Chinese took my gold mine from me, I said, I'm staying out of China. You know, like my books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, they pirated the whole thing. They don't pay me anything.
Really?
They steal.
Wow.
It's part of their, let's say, culture. Mm. I won't mention anything else. I get in trouble when you mention race, religion, God, money, sex. Let's talk about sex next.
So if you're a billionaire in debt, is that all in real estate or did you use debt to buy gold mines as well?
No, I used debt and real estate. What I do is, let's say I buy a property. Here's a property, I buy it. I finance it. Then we refinance it, we borrow out the equity. With the refinanced equity, I bought the gold mine.
Right.
And guess what pays for the debt? This. And I still own the gold mine. And that's why I went to tons of gold. Mm. It's all finance.
Yeah. And if you have $1 billion of debt, how many properties does that mean you own?
I've
got 340 units, and I thought that was a lot. Someone said you had 16,000 properties.
16,000.
16,000.
Just because at 17 years old, Hellman, what is that? Why is this coin copper? That was 1964. It's Gresham's Law. Gresham's Law states when bad money enters the system, good money goes into hiding. Then it happened in 1971. Nixon took this off of this. This became debt. So the smartest guys on earth are real estate guys like Trump, you and me. We borrow this to buy this that buys this apartment house, that.
So
it's called finance.
Yeah. So do you pay any tax?
No.
None.
You guys forget some. You guys are English. You forget. We're still pissed off at you guys.
It wasn't me.
remember in 1773.
Don't hold a grudge that long. Yeah.
There was a thing called the Boston Tea Party. And the English were taxing the American colonies. And finally, the Americans said, and we threw the English tea into the ocean. And so people say, America was founded in 1776, you know, when whatever they did, or Declaration of Independence, whatever they did. Now, America was founded as a debt revolution. They threw the English out. So America was founded as a debt-free country. If you know that one. So Americans have always fought against, tax-free. I don't pay my tax. I don't have to. But I have the best accountants and the best lawyers to make sure I don't. Mm. That's why Trump and I don't pay taxes legally. Hillary Clinton and Obama, and those, they just steal it. You don't have to pay tax on things you steal.
Well, didn't Trump say to Hillary that he is not paying any tax because of laws that she passed?
Something like that.
Yeah,
I just remember she was attacking him on camera.
Yes.
He says, but you don't pay any taxes. He says, I'm smart. That's the truth.
And do you not pay any taxes because you're taking all your income as debt?
No. You have to obey. Taxes are incentives. In other words, if I went down to Goodwill, a church, the government wants me to donate money to a church. So if I donate this to a church, it's a tax write-off. Mm. So taxes are incentives to do what the government wants you to do. So the people that pay the highest taxes are employees and doctors and lawyers. The capitalists don't pay taxes. There was a book I wrote called The Cash Flow Quadrant, ESBI. E's pay 40% in tax. S's pay 60% in tax. B's pay 20%. I's pay zero.
And I's are the investor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inside investor. People who buy stocks, bonds, mutual funds are freaking losers.
Why?
Because you pay tax.
So do you not invest in the stock market at all?
No. I have my stock is there.
Right.
From my company.
Yeah.
But it's tax-free.
Yeah.
I'm an entrepreneur. I am not an employee. I was a stupid kid in school. I flunked out so many times. And,
do you think that made you a good entrepreneur?
Yeah. Well, I had to.
Had to what? What? Because you had no other choice?
Well, I had to learn how to cheat. Now, I'm here with my team right now. My attorneys, my accountants, my debt guys, my bankers. We operate as a team. Schools teach you to take tests on your own, right?
Mm.
I take my tests as a team. So when I was going after that gold mine in Utah, you think I could do it by myself? Even though it was the richest gold mine in the world, I had to go in with a big team. The average punter out there, I can't afford it. But I used the profits from my real estate to raise $2 million to buy the gold mine. The average person, I can't afford it. They can afford this. Mm. They cannot afford the gold mine.
Yeah.
The entrepreneur can afford the gold mine legally. Mm. Please do it. I'm not Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX and all that other crypto crap. Mm. I have crypto, but I do it honestly.
Mm. And have people not been chasing you to try and get some tax from you? You're a very public figure. Do they not like knocking on your door?
That's a very good question. An audit is called an audit.
Mm.
I'm audited every year. Catch me. No, but audits keep you honest.
Mm. Yeah.
If I was doing something illegal, like Sam Bankman-Fried or Hillary probably does, Clinton and Obama and this guy, Biden is the worst. He steals his money, God almighty. But anyway, if I'm audited, I'm doing something wrong, I'll pay my tax. I don't want to go to jail and do the hula for some guy, you know.
Mm. So if you had to choose between gold or silver.
How about this?
Oh, no, we're not going to put fiat into the mix.
But let me say, what I'm asking right now is most people watching today are choosing this.
They're choosing pounds and pence, dollars and cents. Mm.
So the average person, even the guy sleeping on the street, can raise how much is $35 in pounds?
Yeah, you can get a Tudor Beast coin here for £70, including VAT. Which you could claim back if you bought it in the right company. So £50 will get you a good 2 ounce silver coin. I've started to pay my kids for their chores in silver.
Good man.
Yeah.
See, this is God's money. It was not printed. I always say to American audiences, if you can print it, I don't want it. If you can, a stock certificate, I don't want it. Can you print this? I don't want it. It's that simple. Mm. I own cattle. You can't print a cow, so you know you get artificial intelligence and all this other garbage. But the thing I sell for my cattle, they're bulls. They're Wagyu bulls, Japanese bulls. You see, because when I was a little boy, I went to the dairy, and I watched the breeding bulls. And they bring the cows in, and the old bull would go, oh, baby. They sit there and he start humping away on the cow, you know, going, ooh, when I grow up, I want to be a breeding bull. You know? I had no idea what I was watching. I was going, that looks like fun. So today I own Wagyu cattle, bulls.
Yeah.
And every time they ejaculate, it's semen flow. I get paid. Nobody's offered me that service yet.
Wow. Yeah.
I think like a capitalist, not a Marxist.
No.
I don't want it to be equal. You kick my ass, I'll kick your ass.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's why I love this game here. Mm.
So you think free markets, you know, competition, that's all healthy and good?
For certain people. If you're not competitive and you're a wimp and a crybaby, you know, follow Dave Ramsey.
Wow. Are you allowed to say who your rich dad is? There's lots of like...
No, I don't say it. I had to ask his permission. They don't want to be known.
Oh, okay. So they're like a... Are they still alive?
No, actually. No. This is the saddest thing of all is Rich Dad was my best friend's father. And he had nothing to start, and he built his empire. So if you go to Waikiki Beach today in Hawaii, you look at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, that's their land. They don't own the hotel, they own the land. So he started with nothing. He kept doing what Americans call a 1031, their tax-free exchanges and all this stuff. So his plan was to buy a whole section of Waikiki Beach, and he bought it. So today it belongs to the family. But another rule I've heard is that the first generation makes it. The second generation was my best friend and I. The third generation was his son. Guess what?
Son squandering it?
It's gone. Mm. The third generation lost it all.
Because they didn't learn the skills required to build it.
They had a good time. Mm. Plus.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Bad habits. Yeah.
But I often think a lot of money without understanding how it works is a curse. Would you
plus,
agree?
Yeah. Mm. Plus addictions.
Yeah.
You know, homelessness is not homelessness. Homelessness is addiction.
Right.
So they just can't function in society. Mm.
Do you think a big recession is coming? Big, 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 bigger than big?
I think that's why I started this whole thing. It's the end of this. We're at the end of the American empire. The question is it China next? That's the question. There was a man named Buckminster Fuller. He was at the geodesic domes and all that. He said civilization went what he called a northwest spiral. So his prediction was it started in Thailand, came across Europe. So that's when the Middle East boomed. Then France boomed. England boomed. U.S. boomed. Japan boomed. China. That was Fuller's prediction.
Right.
So I'm not saying it's true. Mm. But when I look at it, it seems to be that way. Mm. But China's in worse trouble than we are. You know, they have high unemployment, kids with no jobs, no financial education. Mm.
They say more millionaires are made in recessions. Do you think there's opportunity in the upcoming recession?
Of course, yeah. Yes. Hey, I think this thing is $35 today. I think in 2 years, it'll be $100.
Really?
That means it's going to take today it takes 35 of these to buy one of these. In 2 years, it's going to take 100 of these to buy one of these.
And that could have gone down 15 to 20% with inflation.
That's what I mean. Mm. Which would you rather have today? Mm. Most people choose that. Sad, isn't it? Mm.
And where does Bitcoin fit in all this?
Well, it's the same problem as, you know, fake money all over the world. I own Bitcoin. I was fortunate enough because I took, you know, technical trading is watching market trends. Mm. So I studied for 3 years technical trading. I'm not very good at it. Real estate guy, real slow. Mm. And so I was watching Bitcoin. It went from nothing to 20,000. I went, wow. Then it retraced back to nothing. And it started coming up, and it picked up momentum. So I bought 60 Bitcoin at 6,000. I stopped. So I'm in the money today.
Mm. Do you think it might become a relevant currency?
We'll see. I just know this is God's money.
Mm.
This is God's money. It was put here by God.
Mm.
Bitcoin, you know, is the blockchain technology. Mm. Blockchain makes it valuable because it got integrity.
And what if the governments create central digital currencies? What are your thoughts on those?
I'd still rather have this and this.
Mm.
I don't know. What I understand, I could be wrong. Our freedom's gone. They can track you by this. You know, like right now, if I use my credit card, right?
Mm.
They know where I used it. So if you go to CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency.
I mean, that's tracking on another level, isn't it?
That's right.
Is that not 1984, George Orwell? Yeah.
That's why I'm saying this is the end of the American empire, but we don't know what the next one
no.
is.
Do you think we might go back to a gold standard? Like evolution through de-evolution?
We might, but my question is, I don't care what they're doing. I want to know what you're doing. So I'm doing this.
Yeah.
So when I talk to my friends, I say, how much of this have you got? And how much of this have you got?
Mm.
Most people have a lot of this or debt.
Mm.
I'd rather have this. So the end result of buying property is to get back to this.
Yeah.
And pay no taxes.
Mm. And how old were you when you became a millionaire?
I don't really remember. I was just, it wasn't even in our minds. You know, my best friend and I, my best friend in 2020 sold his company for $2 billion. Since I'm a property guy, I didn't sell my properties. But we were just best friends. And we kicked each other's butts along. We played rugby together. We fought martial arts together. But one of the best assets you can have is your friend. So my friend and I always swore we'd be rich. And we took courses, we studied, practiced, made mistakes. And we both met at Xerox, we called it Rank Xerox here. We both met at Xerox in 1974. And we just pushed each other along. And today we're multi-billionaires.
So you're a billionaire?
In debt, yes. No, I own several tons of this. What's this worth?
Well, if an ounce is 2,200, someone can do the maths on that.
So I just stopped. This is the question, okay? Everybody can afford this.
So that's a silver 35, coin.
35.
Yeah.
The average guy cannot buy the silver mine. Entrepreneurs buy the mine.
Mm.
So my mine is called Yamana. Own this.
Then but I not bought, in China.
No.
No.
Yamana's in Argentina.
Mm.
They played England the other night.
Yes.
Yes.
We just scraped through.
And then this here is gold. I buy the mine now. That's what entrepreneurs do. So the average person can afford this, but most people choose this.
Mm.
They'll save this, they'll work for this. They hang on to this. They will not trade this for this.
Mm.
That's the problem.
Mm. You mentioned your friend Donald Trump a lot. Do you think he's going to be president again one day?
Yes and no, you know. He's a very good man. I would vote for him, honestly. He's a very good man. He is what he is. He'll tell you exactly where he is. There's no two Donald Trumps. He'll tell you exactly where he's at. So I appreciate his two sons, Don Jr. and Eric, are good friends of mine. But we're all politically incorrect because Don Jr. and Eric and I are hunters. So we go to Africa all the time. So we saw the Springboks play the All Blacks, you know. And you kill animals. I'm going, we're hunters. Oh, so many people care about what you're doing rather than what they're doing, you know what I mean? So if I go hunting, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars that goes into the African economy. And as you know, South Africa is going after Nelson Mandela and the rugby game and all this. The greatest rugby game on earth was played in South Africa. After Mandela, then I hate to say it, the other blacks took over and they stole, ripped the country. Country's going down.
Mm.
I love South Africa. But I go there, and I hate to be a racist, but they can't blame the white guys this time. You know, the black guys are running it down.
Mm.
So you call it to see it. Oh, you're a racist. I'm not going to live much longer, am I?
Do you mind? How old are you now, Robert?
77.
Wow. And you still do? Is this like a game to you? Is this a passion, the investing?
Yeah, it's fun to me. But teaching became my mission, if you know what I mean. I went to military. I'm a rank knocker. I went to military school. You have Sandhurst. So I went to military school. Flew for the Marine Corps. We're mission driven. So money's got plenty of money. Now we teach. But I don't want to invest to lose money. So I like making money.
And when your time is up, what are you going to do with this massive asset base?
It's all going back already in our, my wife and I have a will. It's all goes into what's called a trust and then continues on. We don't need the money.
And have you ever thought about, I know you've got rich dad, poor dad, and all the education. Have you ever thought about building schools? Change the school system?
We're working on it right now. Not the school. I don't want to, there's an old Irish proverb that goes, if I knew where I was going to die, I wouldn't go there. I always died in school. My spirit died. Every time when I talk to these Marxists.
That was the bird for those of you listening on audio.
No, my spirit died in school.
Right.
You know, don't make mistakes. Don't do this. Memorize this answer. Yeah. I said, I don't want this.
Right.
So I'm going to start my own system outside the system.
Yeah. Well, it's the least amount of friction that way, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, I want to teach those who want to learn. I was in school. I was one of those kids who didn't want to learn. I was a surfer. I love surfing.
Yeah.
But so I don't blame the teacher. I just wanted to surf. And then I wanted to learn how to fly. So I went to the best schools to fly. U.S. Navy Flight School.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that must be what, 25? How many years?
25 this year.
Wow. And how many copies has it sold?
I don't know. In China, millions, but they don't pay me for it.
You're not letting that one go, are you?
No.
I mean, I heard 27 million copies. I don't know if that's accurate.
Probably.
And that's amazing.
What's kind of funny, I sit there and I'm autographing books, and you can tell my books from the pirate books.
Oh, they're you just, can see the difference
oh,
in
yeah,
quality.
They're cheaper shit.
Yeah. Should we, 32 million.
That's counting, yeah.
Yeah. How does that make you feel, 32 million books?
It's humbling. I think the most amazing thing is to go around the world. I meet guys your age now. They say, thank you, the book changed my life. I'm doing this because of this. That's the biggest payoff there is.
Yeah.
Because when I wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, every editor in New York said, you don't know what you're talking about. So I said three things. I said, number one, the rich don't work for money. The rich work to acquire assets. Number two, savers are losers. Look at how much inflation and taxes are killing this thing. And number three, your house is not an asset. So your job as a capitalist is to turn a liability, a house, into an asset. But the average person, they buy a house. What's happening in America today, I'm sure here, as tens of thousands of people are laid off, what's killing them is their house. They can't afford the mortgage. So instead of the house being an asset, the house is a liability.
So do you rent your own home?
No. But I have 15,000 to cover that one.
Right.
No, so my point is, my cars are liabilities. If Uber rented them, it'd be an asset, if it covered all expenses. So it's really defined in the numbers. Rich Dad, Poor Dad is only a book on accounting. That's all it is. So for most people, they buy a house, it costs some money. So I paid cash for it. You still have interest. I mean, you still have taxes and you still have upkeep. It's a liability.
So you would invest in an asset to pay for the debt and then it wouldn't be a liability anymore?
Well, it's like I wanted a Rolls Royce. So my wife says, you can have anything you want, but you first got to buy the asset that pays for the Rolls Royce. So I went out, found an apartment house, and bought the Rolls Royce.
With the income, yeah. And do you put your cars in a company so you can write them off?
Yeah, that's my chicken shit, Chef. No, I mean, how much does a roller cost here?
$400,000, maybe.
Brand new, yeah.
Yeah, so $500,000.
So I don't want to pay for it. So I buy the apartment house first or the storage units.
Yeah.
And that buys the car.
Right. And would you prefer to get it on a lease rather than own it?
I don't care.
You don't care.
I just don't want to pay for it.
Right.
I want my tenants to pay for it.
Yeah.
That's capitalism.
Yes. Okay, so we're nearly time up. I mean, I've really enjoyed this.
Thank you, it's been fun.
Yeah, thank you. Can we do a quick fire? We always end on a quick fire round.
Sure.
Yeah. Is your beef real with Grant Cardone? He's my friend, by the way. And there was a bit of, is that beef real? Or was...
I beef with a lot of guys. I'm a U.S. Marine. No, I just didn't like what he was saying.
No.
I chewed him out of my show.
You kicked him out of your show?
The issue was get into debt, then worry about how you pay for it, something like that. So that I don't do that.
No. What's the difference between what Grant does and what you do?
I make sure I can pay for it. I don't speculate. I'm an investor.
Mm.
Like, I know I own this.
Yeah.
There's no counterparty risk to this. I know it.
Mm.
Same as my property. I know I own it. It may have debt on the property, but I know I own it.
Mm. Would you rather have 10 million cash or 10 million extra social media followers, and why?
Oh, social media followers.
Why?
That's where money comes from.
So you see social media as an asset as well?
Oh, damn right.
Yeah.
What you're doing is very smart. I think that's one of the biggest gifts given the young people, social media.
Mm.
You know, I know women who make a lot of money selling. I don't know what
they're
selling,
assets.
But
yeah.
I've been thinking about buying some. You know, I'm talking about, I didn't know this, but some of those young girls make fortunes.
Mm.
These ugly guys troll on them. Or, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they do make, I think some of them make in excess of 100 million recurring income as well, like property.
As long as they convert it to this, that's fine.
But always turn your nudity into gold.
Well, you know, when it starts to sag, the income goes down.
Robert, does money make you happy?
The game makes me happy.
Right.
That's like, you know, when we went to the rugby game,
mm.
I was in heaven. The stands were just beautiful, right? Mm. The fans were happy, everybody's happy. I mean, in front of me was a South African guy talking to a Kiwi, you know. And everybody's just, they're loving the game.
Mm.
And even when you lost, you shake each other's hand. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm. And is money like a game then to you, really?
It is.
Yeah.
That's compared, I'm going to take my, like soccer. We couldn't believe the soccer fans would tear the place apart.
Well, my wife took me to the semifinal as a surprise. And she was like, how can we be in the same stand as the South African rugby players? Because she couldn't understand that it's not like football.
No.
No.
I was in South Africa for the Soccer World Cup. It was horrifying. Mm. Fighting. That's not rugby.
No. Mm. What's your biggest ever payday?
Gee, I don't even remember. I hate to be so, but my payday comes like I'm walking off a plane and there's young women or young men come up and say, thank you. That's the payoff. Mm.
Do you have a private jet?
Of course.
Mm.
I do.
Why, of course?
Tax write-off.
So you can run the depreciation, the expenses, everything through?
More than you know.
Wow. Yeah.
It's the same as a house, except I'm buying a G4 now. You know,
mm.
I have a Lear 60.
Right.
So I'm going for the G4 because it's international.
Mm.
But my bonus depreciation, it's only like $5 million, but I won't pay tax. It's a free jet.
Mm.
And then I get paid the income. Well, I wouldn't have a jet.
Mm.
Now, if I use it, it's expensive, you know what I mean?
Mm.
The expensive part about a jet, not the price. The expensive part is just when you start the engine. So if I'm I'm a passenger, that's like me renting my own house.
Mm.
So I don't want to take my jet too much.
Right.
It's expensive.
Mm. What's the best money advice you ever received?
Know an asset from a liability. Don't work for money. This is trash. My rich dad was adamant about it.
And what's the worst money advice you ever received?
From Grant Cardone. What did he say? I don't know. I don't even know what he said. But he was on my show. He said something. I have a hot temper. Marine pilot.
I was warned. I thought you might walk out halfway through this interview. I feel really privileged you haven't.
Well, because you're a real estate guy. Grant isn't. I'm not giving Grant a hard time. No, that's like Tony Robbins. He's one of the biggest phonies. I was partners with Tony.
You were?
Yeah.
Partners?
About 40, 50 years ago.
Wow.
What he says is not what he does.
How do you mean?
I understand this inside. There's a lot of people who say things just to, so it sounds good, if you know what I mean. Mm. But anyway, I walked away. Mm.
I remember seeing something where you talked about the difference between fake rich and actual rich. Can you talk about that?
Can you stop working? The definition of wealth is not how much money you have. If you stop working today, let's say you're a husband and wife with three kids. If you stop working today, how long can you keep not working? For most people, it's a month. That's gone. Mm. The biggest problem I see happening right now is my generation, the baby boom generation. Our pensions are gone. Wall Street ripped them off. So the people I get the most grief from are like CNBC and all that. Because I say, you guys are lying. They're not telling people the truth. Their pensions are empty. You know, my classmates went to fly for United Airlines. Good high-paying job, making like $60,000 a year. It was a lot of money back then. And then they retired. Wall Street took their pensions. But they don't say anything about that. I wrote a book called Who Stole My Pension? You're going to find, this is a prediction, my generation, the boomer generation, were the first ones with what in America called a 401k. Canada, they call RRSPs. 401ks, and I don't know what you call them here in England. They're empty. Mm. Wall Street robbed them. They're worse than Sam Bankman-Fried. It's a Ponzi scheme. Mm.
And you think owning your own real estate is probably the best replacement, a real pension? Gold and silver.
I have tons of it. Mm. This one won't make you rich. A ton of it will. Mm. So the question is, how do you get from this to a ton? Mm. And that's what my rich dad taught me. Mm. In fact, that's what I'm in England for today, is that's what I'll be teaching tomorrow. So how do you get from here to a gold mine? Mm. That's entrepreneurship. Mm. This is a punter.
And what, this event? Can anyone get on this event that you've got tomorrow?
Yeah.
Because we've got people on the live. Can people still come to the event?
Can they?
Is it?
Sure,
yeah?
Sure.
Okay. Can we give it a shout out? Yeah?
Send you a link.
Okay, I've got the link here. National Achievers Congress? Yeah?
Thank you. Thank
okay,
you.
That's okay. So the link is sr-event.com/NACUK-RM. sr-event.com/NACUK-RM.
Or they can go to nationalachieverscongress.com.
Okay, if that link's a bit complicated, National Achievers Congress, you'll find, .com. What are you going to teach there, Robert?
Well, the most important thing, you'll see my team. See this here?
Yeah.
You don't find me walking on the field by myself, do you?
No.
But that's what the average person is doing. They're walking on the field with a rugby ball against the city of London. They're walking on the field with a rugby ball against Wall Street. They're nuts. I go out there with my team. So you'll meet my accountant, my debt guy. You meet my team. And in fact, this will be on stage with us because we almost pitched a ball around. Because business is a team sport, except in school. Because in school, if you practice as a team, it's called cheating.
Yeah.
I cheat like a wild man. I want the best guys on my team. But, you know, like it's like the bronze, you know, was England versus Argentina. Holy mackerel. But none of us are by ourselves. Mm. The English team was fantastic. They did plays I've never seen before. But they only, how they functioned as a team. That one guy just took the ball, and the loose scrum, the rockets formed already. And they were down. That's a team. Do you know what I mean? Mm. The guy kicks it this way and it goes this way. The team's waiting for him. Mm. I went, it's magicians, but they're team magicians. Whereas my wife is a golfer. It's all about her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A rugby player is different. Mm. I want to go out there with a team. So tomorrow, you'll meet my team.
Mm. Okay. So that's nationalachieverscongress.com. All right then. Do you have any regrets? What's your biggest regret?
Being an asshole too much. Oh, God. In justification here, having a hot temper as a Marine is good. You know, there are so many times, like, we're based off a carrier, and your friends don't come home. We all launch. We're all about 25 years old, we launch. And your best friend doesn't come back, you know. but made us stronger. It also made us more hot-headed. So I developed a real hot temper fast, because when your friends don't come back, it's not just the pilots that don't come back, the crew doesn't come back. And we learn how important the team is. Mm. But I developed a very quick temper, because when we took fire, we had to go in. I went down 3 times in Vietnam. You know, if I didn't have a hot, quick temper, I'd be dead. Mm. The guys that were nice guys thinking about it. And I'm really proud of my roommate from the carrier. He was running for Speaker of the House in the U.S. Congress. He became a lieutenant general. I got kicked out as a lieutenant, hot temper. So it doesn't work in the real world. Mm. So that's my biggest regret. Mm.
What's your most
good rugby player, though.
What's your most brutal life lesson? The hardest life lesson you've ever had?
My wife left me.
Oh, previous one or current one?
Current one, 35 years. She said, I've had enough of your bullshit.
Oh, wow.
It hurt.
Yeah, and when was this?
About 3 years ago.
Oh, no. Sorry to hear that.
Me too.
Have you managed to connect it back up?
No.
No.
When you have as much money as she does, she doesn't need you anymore. She is a rich woman.
Right. And
I'll tell you, money.
Is this Sharon?
Huh?
Are you talking about Sharon?
No, that was my, don't talk about her. Oh, okay. Sharon was my business partner.
Right. Yeah.
She was a thief too, anyway. Right. Anyway, I talk about my best friend and I. So he and I pushed each other along. So he sold his business for $2 billion. That's a lot of money. And the next thing you know, his wife, so it was Larry, myself, Larry and Lisa, Robert and Kim. And we're like one little happy little family going along. Larry sold his business for $2 billion. Lisa took up Ferrari racing. So she's out here in Europe campaigning her Ferrari. And she fell in love with a Ferrari instructor. Her Ferrari instructor is a rich man today. You know the story, don't you?
No.
No, you know what happened.
Right? Yeah, well, I can guess the punchline. Yeah.
Young, hot Ferrari instructor. We're just old men. She's all this money, penthouses everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a point where there's too much money. Mm. You know? Mm. So the same thing, my wife says, I don't need you anymore, bye.
Wow, just like that.
Well, a lot of times marriage is survival, you know, you need each other, which is important. Mm. Or you have kids, but once the kids are gone, out. Mm. So it's happening a lot. I was talking to my divorce attorney, he says, there's a lot of gray divorces. Ooh. So people over 60 getting divorced now.
Oh. Wow.
So it's interesting times. You know? Mm.
So we're getting waves, so this is the final one. This show is called Disruptors. What does the word disruptive mean to you?
Innovator. Somebody's going to make a change. Somebody who challenged what they've been told. Every time I was told, go to school to get a job, I said, but what if I don't want a job? Or save money. And my rich dad says, don't save money. Until you challenge what you're taught, you're a sheep. Mm. You know, and you know what they do to sheep, especially in Ireland.
This has been so much fun.
Oh, it's been fun, yes.
Thank you. Obviously, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that is, everybody knows that. But where are you most active on social media, or where can people follow your latest updates?
I think richdad.com, right?
Yeah. Twitter.
Richdad.com and Twitter. And is Twitter Robert Kiyosaki? Is that
The Real Kiyosaki.
The Real Kiyosaki.
I do my own.
Yeah. Robert, thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm sure it's
thank you.
Rugby player and real estate. It would be better.
Thank you.